listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Hollywood, California. Sometimes I say Los Angeles, California, and sometimes I say Studio City, but we're just so close, it's just all the same thing. I got an email about that Thursday. They said one time you're in LA, then you're in Hollywood, then you're in Studio City. It's all the same out here. It's just a big conglomerate of entertainment, so I'm all over the place. Now, our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with advice and tips and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interviews instantly, or download one of their interviews, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. We are always on Channel 1. Scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. And this takes you directly to my archive page, and that is where you can view the list of all of our past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section and also on Stitcher.com. So just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box. Now, if you want to find out about our future guests, you have to go to another website. It's the official Question Reality website at questionrealityshow.com. Questionrealityshow.com. That's where all the hot happenings are to find out who is coming on for this year. Now, as usual, we have great guests for you, and it is no exception today. He is a hot little happening, sexy, mind you, sexy man. His name is Tom McClear. Tom McClear, and he is a just a wonderful person. I had him on the show before, and we had so many emails after he was on the show, and they just really enjoyed his interview. So we decided to bring him back. I want you to go to his website now to check him out while I do a little advertisement. It is McClear.net, M-A-C-L-E-A-R.net, McClear.net, or you can find him at MegRecords.net, MegRecords.net, and check them out, and we are going to come back to you in a minute, but first I want to tell you about this really great film that's coming out. This is going to be a fun one, I'm telling you. It is called Hansel and Gretel Get Baked. I don't know what it is. The fairy tales are alive and well this year. Everything's, you know how they have renaissances with these films and things. Now fairy tales are the it thing. Well, this particular movie is so fun. It is so good. You got to see it. Again, Hansel and Gretel Get Baked. And this film, it stars Laura Flynn Boyle, Twilight's Michael Welch, and Castle's Molly Quinn. And this particular Hansel and Gretel movie, Get Baked, it offers a slightly different twist to the Hansel and Gretel story. And this twisted fairy tale is just, I'm telling you, it is going to really delight you, even if you are the most demanding horror genre film fanatic. You are going to love this. It's got a surprise for you. Now, the film, I'll tell you a little bit about it, not too much. Oh, and Cary Elwes is in it. Oh, I used to, he was my fantasy man back in the early 90s, but he's in it too. I had to mention him. Now, this film, it takes place in modern day Los Angeles, and there is this intense new marijuana strain called Black Forest, and it ignites this craze among the city's stoner population. Who doesn't love to see a stoner? I don't know about you. I like it personally. Now, when Gretel's boyfriend, he mysteriously disappears after he visits this enigmatic, I can't even say the word. I've been drinking too much Wild Turkey whiskey today. Enigmatic old lady, Laura Flynn Boyle, that's who plays the lady. I can't even imagine her as an old lady. I mean, she's such a stunning, beautiful woman. Just amazing. I love her. Now, she's dealing the drug, and Hansel and Gretel must join forces to save the city's stoner population from this very evil and very hungry wicked witch. So doesn't that sound good? Love it already. It is going to be available on demand nationwide February the 19th, in a couple days from now, and in select theaters February 22nd, and it is from Tribeca Film. If you want to find out more about it, go to their website. It's tribecafilm.com/getbaked. tribecafilm.com/getbaked, and you baked, and you can find out all the information. Okay, we are back to our guest today. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Tom McClure. He is a singer, he's a songwriter, he's a producer, and he has had one of those prolific, quiet careers that many true musicians have, not the guys on the marquee, but the ones who write the songs, play whatever lick needs to be played, and occasionally venture out with a record or a project on his own. And if you've never heard of Tom McClure, you have most certainly heard Tom McClure. And he has written for or played with Rod Stewart, Annie Lennox, and Concrete Blonde, among a ton of others. And he has enjoyed a career within a career. He has written screenplays. He's been working on his book of poems. I don't know how that's going. I know he was working on that last year. And he's also produced art for such television shows as Californication and Caveman. So, without further ado, if I haven't put him to sleep already, here is the lovely Tom McClure. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing fine, darling. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. But you know what? I'm usually so full of energy every week, but I have a cold, and I'm feeling really kind of low energy and mellow today. And if you've been listening,
poor thing. Everybody seems to have that flu that's been going around the last couple months. I'm really sorry that it got to you, too.
I hope it's not the neuro flu, or this will probably be my last broadcast, because I hear it takes pretty quick. You're going to be the last one to get to talk to me.
No. God forbid.
But, you know, people who listen to my show, they've been listening since 2008. One of the things I constantly hear when I meet people is, oh, my God, your shows are so high energy. You talk so fast. It's like, where do you get your energy? But today, I feel like I'm depriving them of the energy because I feel so – I've been sleeping nonstop. I mean, I went to bed really early, Tom, and I still feel like I'm ready to take a nap. I don't know what it is.
I think you sound perfectly fine. You're a dynamo and a fireball, and you're wonderful and very witty and very intelligent. I think it's all fine. You're all good.
God, I want to clone you and have you as a second husband. I might have to make you one of my concubines. My God.
I don't think you want to do that. You don't want more than one of me in this world. It's not enough.
Well, I could listen to that accent forever. Remind us again where you are from originally.
Well, I was raised my early years in Aberdeen, Scotland, and different parts of England. I've kind of bounced around a bit there between Brighton and London, and was born actually here in the States, in Montana, but spent my early years overseas. And I've been in Los Angeles, I don't know, probably about, oh gosh, over 20 years now. But,
You still have an accent. That's Scottish.
I don't have any accent whatsoever. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. No, this is an accent from Sherman Oaks.
Oh, it is. Well, I tell you, that's a diluted Scottish accent because I cannot understand a word a Scotsman says. I don't know what they're saying. I mean, I lived in England for 6 months, and I tell you, when we went up to Scotland, I couldn't understand. I just nodded yes to everything they said. I didn't know what the hell they were saying.
I can't understand them either. I really don't.
I'm sorry. Let me ask you. I understand that you were a front man for the band McClear during the Celtic rock boom. What in the heck is that? I never heard of that.
Oh, that was, well, it was around 94, 95 till about almost 2000. It was quite a big deal here in Los Angeles. Of course, the Young Dubliners started out playing local gigs, and there was a lot of people that would be in the Los Angeles area would know Ken O'Malley, and it was kind of following the rage behind the Pogues and Waterboys that were doing the thing overseas. So, of course, in every city in the States, there was a lot of copycats like Flogging Molly and so on and so forth. And McClear was just one of them. You know, it was very eclectic, very...
Like Scottish music, Irish music, what?
Yeah, it was a Scottish-Irish slash, God knows what I could say, Irish, Scottish slash Pink Floyd. I don't know
I'm pretty up on music. I had never heard of Celtic rock, so I'm going to look that up. Now, why did you choose... now that I found out you were born in Montana, I might have my answer to that. But before, my question was, why did you choose to pursue country music? Because I'm thinking you're from Scotland. I can't imagine there was a big country music love over there, but I don't know.
It's really the case that the grass is greener on the other side of the hill always. All the kids here basically grew up loving the Beatles and the Stones and whatnot. And most people overseas, especially in Britain, grew up loving either you loved R&B, you loved the Detroit sound, you liked Memphis. And many, many people all around the world love country music very much. You could travel all around the world and somebody will be able to sing you a Hank Williams song or Elvis Presley or Johnny Cash. It's a foundation, you know. Two great things that come out of the United States is that's pure U.S. is jazz and country.
Wow.
And you know, so you know, the Beatles listened to early country and the Stones and the Kinks and you know, just about any melodic British band modeled a lot of their stuff after country and blues and jazz. Country's just always been my love. So it's always something I've turned back to after a project that would take me out to left field, you know.
Now you, I want to know, what was it like working with Rod Stewart? Because I've heard stories. I know people who
really
want to I want to confirm it on air, but I tell you, I've heard some stories. Now, I've known people who have been his backup singers, and they had some stories, and then there were some people who had some water thrown at them from across the room. So I want to hear the scoop. What was it like working with them?
It's very
being
professional.
Being as respectful as we can.
exactly.
The nice things.
Rod's on the spectrum for, you know, 30 years working with many, many different artists. I was fortunate to be there. In the late 70s, early 80s, and then a little bit in the 90s again, it's before a lot of the changeover of musicians that kind of turned into a revolving door. He was finding many different types of styles of the music that he wanted to pursue. I think, you know, professionally he was great. He was tough.
Did you play guitar? Did you play guitar in his band, or what did you do?
Well, guitar really did a lot of writing for him, you know. Mm. So.
Oh, you writing, did? Like what songs?
Yeah. I'd rather not say right now. I mean, tonight, because it's going to go into. I'd rather be talking about the country stuff right now. It goes way back, like 30 years ago, and it's, you know, there are Hot Legs and Tonight Tonight is about who I would talk
favorites.
About.
Those but are my favorites. Yeah, I loved his early stuff. I really.
Yeah, those are contributions from long, long time ago, and it's like another life. And
I loved his early work. I mean, he was he and his leopard pants. I mean, they were absolutely. They were trailblazers back in the day. Now, what was it like working with Annie Lennox? I heard she's lovely.
She was fantastic. That was like, I would say, 85, 86, 87. Mm-hmm. And it was, of course, just after the years of the Eurythmics, and she was starting to carve out her own solo career. And she, again, you know, that was more in a transition period where she was finding herself and making headway exactly what style she wanted to do, try to get away from the Eurythmics, you know. So she.
So you play guitar in her band?
Guitar, backing vocals.
Oh,
some
nice.
Musical director work for, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
What I did know was that you, last time I didn't know this, that you actually work with Concrete Blonde.
Yes.
Is that true? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
I love their song Caroline, and I first heard it on an episode of LA Inc. with Kat Von D. And then I was lucky enough to meet Kat Von D. At the Magic Castle, and she gave me the inside scoop on why the song was written and what it was really about, which was completely different than what I thought listening to the song. And she told me about her experience with John at Napolitano, who is the lead singer.
Oh,
and then Kat Von D tried to get me to like Joey, and she's like, you gotta listen to Joey, and I tried and tried, but I just could not get into that song. For me, the only song I like by Concrete Blonde is the Caroline song. I've listened to all of them, but just don't really like any of the other ones. But I didn't like it. I know, that's what everybody says. Why don't I like Joey? I tried, I just can't do it. But what did you do with them? Did you play guitar? What did you do with Concrete Blonde?
I played it the guitar on Joey.
Oh no, you
Miles Copeland was running IRS Records at the time, and Concrete Blonde was signed, and they were looking for some commerciality to try to break open into a more mainstream genre with the rock world then, and I was brought in for numerous sessions and rewriting some of the work, and that was that, you know. So
if I listen to Joey, if I give it one more shot, I'll hear you're the guitar player on the original recording, correct?
And then you'll on the acoustic, the lead guitar.
And then I'll like it. But it is the official recording. So
yes.
I'm going to give it another try just because.
You like it a lot better now.
I'm going to like it better now that I know you're ready. Now, who were your biggest musical influences that really, really kind of curved out what you were going to do on the guitar or as a singer-songwriter, either one?
Wow, that's really kind of a wide spectrum.
Well, obviously Elvis.
I wasn't a huge Elvis fan. I didn't listen to him much. Not that I'm not taking anything away from him. He definitely was the king, and he was fantastic. It just wasn't the person I was listening to personally. I listened to more like...
Would you consider him a country music star more than a rock star back in
His very original days when he was, you know, doing his early Sun Records recordings, you know, and he was hanging with Paul Perkins and Johnny Cash and people like that, yes. But it just took maybe about a year until he started being dubbed as, you know, the king of rock and roll.
Right.
That was a big, you know, a huge revolution then of around 54, 55. You know, it's, but he was a country artist. That's how we started, you know. So, but I think my influence.
It's hard.
So,
it's really hard to say with him. Yeah. Who are your?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's, you know, but I mean, that's what makes him so fantastic. Is
yeah,
that,
because he was crossover. He could do rock.
Yeah.
He could do country. He could do even blues, gospel. I mean, he had such a wide range. So,
yeah,
who were your influences?
But, I mean, my family, they were in musicals at Light Opera. So, I mean, I was very, very fortunate when I was, you know, when you're a young child, your brain is a sponge, and your intake is just at very heightened, you know, levels. So, I was listening to anywhere from Cole Porter, Noel Coward, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein on one side of the spectrum, and then I was listening to rhythm and blues and, you know, just the greats of Ray Charles and you know, I just could go on and on. So I had many, many different influences.
If you could, let's narrow it down. What singer would you today, right now, today, what singer would you most likely choose to record a duet with?
That's difficult. Well, the singer I'm about to work with soon, Rachel Quinn, isn't too shabby. She worked with us a couple of years ago, and she's going to be back with our project. But I tell you, there's some fantastic vocalists out there. I love Alicia Keys. I was at the set of Jimmy Kimmel show a couple of weeks ago, and Bruno Mars was doing a sound check, and for just aside from his own music, which has been played and synthesized over and over and over again, he did a sound check song of When a Man Loves a Woman, Percy Sledge song, with just him and a Hammond B3 organ. And I tell you, Bruno Mars is I can honestly say, without any pitch control, without any effects or anything, I think he's one of the finest young singers today.
I love his song. Was it Beautiful Monster? Was that the one? Or
yeah,
Beautiful Monster. I love that.
The purity of his voice is remarkable. And unfortunately, by the time the public gets it, and they get it with all the, you know, the flash pots and smoke machines and flashing lights and all the studio stuff, you'd be surprised. I really think that guy is going to be, you know, he'll go down as one of the better vocalists if he keeps his head for a long, long, long time. But I love Alicia Keys. I love Norah Jones. There's, I'm sure, quite a few that I'm not thinking of. But presently, I think those people are really, really on their game.
Yeah, those are some good ones for sure. Now, let me ask you, what do you think? I get this question a lot from emails, and I've not actually gotten to ask any musical people that have been on the show, so I'm going to ask you, what do you think?
Ask me.
Yeah, I want to know your perspective. What do you think? What do you think of the future of music on the net?
On the net? Oh,
on the internet.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah,
that's all there is.
I mean,
there is no.
Yeah, well, I guess let's phrase it this way. What is your prediction about the future of CD? And, you know, they're still doing some vinyls here and there, not many. But what is the future of CD sales with respect to digital music? Do you think that it'll completely replace the CD format?
Well, unfortunately, progress will make that so. I'm the old school person where I miss the LP merely because I would love to see the cover art in a 16 by 16 inch frame instead of having to squint my eyes trying to read liner notes to see what a picture is. I miss that, but in all practicality, because of the internet, of course, CDs will go away, and the only thing that's making record companies relevant is the fact that they can reprint LPs again and do CDs. But really, record companies will sooner or later be no more, almost like how film companies are merely film brokers. You have independent film companies making films and having the huge conglomerates distributing it for them. So it's very much like all the artists, musical artists now, you know. It's a matter of progress, and it's great. It's fantastic for the musicians now because they don't have to worry about finding that incredibly unreachable wall of a record contract. You could put your CD and your music out there, YouTube it and iTunes it and whatever. And it makes, you know.
How do you feel about the actual selling of music online? Do you feel that it's that, I mean, I'm asking this because you come from the old school where it used to be sold at record stores. How do you feel about it being sold online now? I mean, don't you think it's great because there's so much accessibility?
I think it's fantastic. It made the record, you know, I was so fortunate when I was young, you know, and got into it in the 70s, you know, the record companies had an artistic goal as well as a financial goal, but they had some artistic desires at the time. In the last 25 years, record companies are just run by businessmen and lawyers, you know, and I mean, I'm not trying to, oh God, you know, my distributor's cringing right now as they're hearing me, but unfortunately, what that did is it restricted so many artists from being able to be heard. Now the internet, it's giving an opportunity for people that don't have that equal shake and that chance to be heard. They could throw things online, make yourself a buzz your own way, go on tour. If you're sitting in a van with four guys going from city to city, everybody's done it. Everybody's done this sort of, you know, since the 20s and 30s, people have been busing around the country having their music heard. You don't need a record company standing in your way anymore. You can now put it on internet and make your own buzz.
I agree. I'm
super, super, super happy about that.
And how do you feel about these illegal music downloads? What is your feeling on that?
Yeah, it was a lot worse 15, 20 years ago with Napster and so on and so forth. Things have been, you know, worked on, corrected quite a bit. It's always happened. I mean, even 100 years ago, there were forgeries of paintings made. So, you know, it's always going to happen. And I tell you, from an artist's point of view, if you're 25 years old, you should be happy that people are copying on their iPhones to listen to you, because that means you are, like what we talked about last time, you're relevant.
Yeah.
It's the whole world of, be relevant. And, maybe you're losing a couple hundred bucks, a couple thousand bucks, you know what? But there's a lot of people hearing your stuff.
I agree.
So if you want to, you know. Yeah.
I don't know why people get upset about it. I'd be flatter if somebody was stealing my shit. Woo! Because they're going to say, hey, check this person out. I stole it off of da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, the next person might not feel that way and buy it. Like, we don't do anything illegal on the internet. And we did have friends that was into the Napster thing. But when we heard it, we were like, oh, we like that. And we would buy it. So it ended up that they got the sale anyway. So,
I just don't get it when I listen to 30-year-olds and 25-year-olds saying, oh, I don't want my stuff stolen. Well, you know, you should be, you know, would you rather restrict your music that much where you don't spread your name in your music?
Right.
Or would you take the cut, would you take the financial blow and people hear you in Boston, you know, or hear you somewhere in Hong Kong. I mean, hell, I'd be happy.
Me too. I don't know. They're just goofy, really nutty. Okay, we want to get to, as we promised the audience, we want to get to listening to your song. And let me just tell everyone a little bit about it. And if I miss it, you'll have to fill us in. But this is from your recently self-titled CD on Meg Records called Sweet Summer Days. And it's sung by the multi-talented vocalist Rachel Quinn. And it was written by you, Tom McClear. You also play guitar on it, bass, and backing vocals. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, is this the one that is this being released as a single, or is it part of the whole CD?
Well, actually, I released a new CD in December of last year. Now, we've kind of gone through a rotation of vocalists, and we've brought Rachel Quinn back into the situation. She was very busy with her own project the last year or so. She actually recorded Sweet Summer Days about 2 years ago, but we are re-releasing it for this summer to reintroduce her to the throes of the project called One More Rodeo. So the new CD is out. It's on Amazon. It's just self-titled Tom McClear. But the single that's going to be released with Rachel is Sweet Summer Days.
Wow, okay. Well, without further ado, we are going to play the song. And then after the song plays, when we come back, we are going to answer some of your questions. Some of our audience members sent in some questions about career advice. So we are going to talk to Tom, and he's going to answer all of your questions. So let's hear Sweet Summer Days by Tom McClear and Rachel Quinn.
Sleepy sun
great singer, isn't she? She's got so many different, I mean, she sounds country, yet she sounds R&B, yet there's some blues going on. I love her voice. She's got a huge vocal range, I can tell.
Yeah.
And, wasn't she the original singer for that Nashville music act, One More Rodeo, from Arista that you did a while back?
Yeah,
that was her, right?
Yeah.
Now, you know who you two remind me of? You guys, you keep getting back together there. You remind me of Raina and Deacon on that new country music show, Nashville. Starring Hayden Panettiere. Do you watch that show?
You know, I've seen a little bit of it. And, you know, of course, a lot of my friends that work with J.D. Souther mention it all the time because he's heavily involved with that. J.D. Souther goes back to the days of Ronstadt and the Eagles and all. So, yeah, that's a cool show.
Well, people are going to start – I love it. They're going to start calling you two Raina and Deacon, and if you watch the show, you'll understand what I mean. But I love it, and I almost didn't watch it because I'm not – I mean, I never really got into country music as far as being a fanatic. I'm more of a pop song, but I do appreciate country music. But now that I've started watching this Nashville show, oh my God. First of all, I didn't know Hayden Panettiere even sang country. I knew she was a singer, but I didn't know she could sing. But I just love every character on it, especially there's a character, the character's name is Scarlett. She's played by Claire Bowen. And oh my God, if you heard the voice on this girl, and I thought she was Southern. It turns out that she's from Australia, and I mean, she has a country accent. Her voice, I have never heard a more beautiful country voice, because again, I'm not a country music fanatic, but you really should check it out just to hear this girl sing. She plays the character Scarlett. She's a young, blonde, gorgeous girl. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal voice. But I really love Rachel Quinn. That's a very good choice to keep teaming up with. So,
she's fantastic. She's really quite an excellent talent, and we hope to do a lot more work together in the future. You know,
well, are you doing? What are your summer plans? Don't you have some touring happening?
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, the Sweet Summer Days will be released. They're going to do a nationwide radio release towards the end of April, and we're finally, we've been, you know, laying low for about a year, waiting for me to get this stupid CD done. We should be out July, August with dates, but there will be some showcasing performances. We're supposed to be doing something in Los Angeles in late April, and then in Nashville. So I would just like to tell everyone out there, I'm really, really sorry I haven't done any live stuff for a while. I know you guys have been waiting, but just keep your eyes
peeled. What the heck are you doing over there now? What the hell is going on? What do we need to bribe you to get you to come out?
I was painting my house, okay? No, just kidding.
Painting your
It took me forever to get done with the CD, and then we were going through vocalist changes and personnel changes. So finally, we've got it all together, and we'll be doing something for everyone at the end of April.
Are you going to be announcing like some tour dates around the country?
Yes.
You have any
Our
idea?
Whole thing, you know, it's because, you know, this whole thing we were talking about record companies, we put this out on the independent label of the Meg Records, and so we're going to look at the national radio play and where the hotspots are. We already have test plays out in Nashville, Memphis, so we know we're going there. So when we see how things are rolling, you know, through April, May, we'll start gearing the gigs, you know. But we're definitely playing live, you know, in Los Angeles and Nashville. We're just waiting for the reviews, basically.
Well, you better.
Kind of like,
sure, you let me know so I can announce it.
Yeah, how they're releasing films nowadays, limited release. It's kind of like that, you know.
Yeah. So are we going to see you in some sexy Rod Stewart pants, any leopard skin pants? What are we doing?
People are looking on the internet all the time. Fortunately, a lot of the stuff when I was with them It was pre-internet. So you have to dig real deep on some old released YouTubes and stuff, YouTube videos. You'll find me there.
Oh,
yeah, there's you know, the spandex and capizios, and it's humiliating. It's humiliating.
Hey, it was hip and happening back then. It was the scene. Everybody went out and got a pair of leopard pants and a scarf, and those scarves came in handy after you, you know, in the back of the car.
Yeah, very handy. By all means, I'm proud of those days. I'm proud of doing, you know, Hot Legs and Tonight and stuff like that. So I didn't mean to try to, you know, skirt the issue. It's just, it was a long, long time ago, and there's a lot, you know,
You probably don't even remember most of those days.
that was the height of
the marijuana haze, wasn't it?
There are a few absent years from my memory banks, yes.
I knew it. Now, we will get to, okay, so we are going to look forward to hearing your announcement of your tour dates coming up, but we know you'll definitely be in L.A., so let us know so we can announce that. Now, let's get to some of the questions. When they found out you were coming on, my darling, they were sending in the emails, and so I want to cover these questions because they always send me like hate mail emails when I don't really do. I mean, I try, but sometimes I forget to ask the question. Okay. The first question comes from Jake from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Jake from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he said, "Hey Tom, when you are on the road, what was your method of coping with stress?"
That was very, very difficult. I mean, in the early days, I don't think we really knew what stress was. We were just so, the adrenaline was so up, and you were so young, and you were so anxious. I don't think you looked at it as stress, but just, you know, maybe stage fright, yeah. But
I think I'll give you the real answer, Jake. The guy, it's tequila and prostitutes. That's the real answer. Tom's
okay.
Giving us the political answer. Okay.
You were reading my diary.
I know what you boys do in the bands dealing with stress.
Yeah.
All right. The next question comes from Leroy from Dallas, Texas. Leroy from Dallas, Texas. And he says, I suffer from stage fright. Do you have any advice for me to conquer this problem?
Almost the same answer I was going to give.
Yeah,
to the last
I was
question.
Just thinking that.
Stage fright,
no.
But,
prostitutes
you know, the,
and tequila. There you go.
To prostitutes and tequila backstage every time. The best advice given to me was to embrace it, and it that sounds like kind of a cop out. No, you think that's so easy to do, and it's not. But you know, I was terrified and petrified for the early years. It's very, very difficult to understand the butterflies that you're feeling. That is the adrenaline shooting through your body. The electrolytes are firing in your brain. The norepinephrine's igniting. These are all good things. You're feeling like crap, but these are igniting all the special parts of your soul and your spirit so you could perform at your very best. So don't be afraid of it. Just realize, you know what, it's a normal procedure. I'm going to feel like crap, but it's good. It's all good.
Use it. Use that energy to ride on through the performance. There you go.
That's right.
The next question comes from Linda from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Love Little Rock.
Oh, you've been there. I've never been there.
Razorback State, yes. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Cool place.
She says, hey, Tom, I am an aspiring singer-songwriter. I get writer's block a lot. What do you do for inspiration when you sit down to write a song and it seems that nothing wants to come out?
That's really, really, really difficult. What I decided to do some years ago, because God knows I had writer's block for several years, I had to walk away from things. I didn't write a song for maybe 3 or 4 years. I learned the best thing to do is don't sit down and try to do anything. Don't force it. It's about the same thing as trying to go out and find somebody to love. It's not going to happen because you're forcing something spiritual, and something spiritual that happens inside you is just at a moment. It's a chance. So if sitting down to write isn't working, don't sit down to write, and you will be walking along somewhere in the store or whatever, and something's going to come to you, and that's when it'll ignite. Just be prepared to write it down right away.
Keep your mind open. Channel. I heard some people say they go out and lay in the middle of a green grassy field, on a beach. Find places that make you happy. Go by yourself.
Right.
Don't take your cell phone and just kind of trying to tune into the cosmos. Get the cosmos connection. The cosmic connection. There you go. Yeah.
Get the mojo going.
Get your mojo going. And, you know, some people smoke a little of the ganja to help them along. I mean, I'm not recommending that, but whatever works for you. Last question is from Troy from Beaumont, Texas. And Troy says, "Hey, Tom, I'm 18 years old. And I thought that moving to Austin or Nashville to pursue my career as a singer, songwriter, guitarist was the right move. But everybody tells me that it's a waste of time because people like me are a dime a dozen over there. Aw, is there any other way to get my work noticed by the important record labels other than moving to Nashville?" Oh, who tells you that? I wouldn't call those.
I know, but you know, but it's so much the case. You know, it really is. You know, Austin, God bless it. It was a very special place about 25 years ago, just like how Sundance Film Festival was something very charming and very alluring. But they're very big hubs now, and every hub that starts out as a creative, nice little flow and inspiration turns into a media frenzy and a monopoly by larger companies. So what you got to do is be the old word I keep using in every interview is just think about being relevant. Just be relevant to people around you that you're seeing in and doing. Don't worry about people giving you a formula or saying, you know, it's got to be just like this, and you got to have it mastered at the studio, and you got to have this guy engineer. You know what? Just do something creative that's really relevant to other people around you that love what you do, and that I swear to you, that's the best way to go. There's 500 people sitting in Nashville right now that are all as good as the next person because they've all flocked there. They should be spending the time and effort just doing something really honest and fantastic. Get it on the internet.
Yeah.
Put it on YouTube.
YouTube.
Sitting in the living room.
Yeah, how many people have been discovered on YouTube? My God, there was a young
boy.
Oh, yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
I'm just saying hello. That's what I'm saying. You know,
oh, hello.
That's all
we got to
do. Yeah. Don't, you know, often... Austin's great, Nashville's great, the dream is great, but those are the paintbrushes of the artist, those are the utilities, but the artwork is you. You are the art, and just listen to yourself, be pure, be true to yourself, and you know what, you will be a dime a dozen if you're going to do a dime a dozen thing, like everybody goes to Hollywood, or everybody just... Worry about it. Stay home, play your local stuff, and make yourself a masterpiece in your heart and in your mind and with your friends, and that's what's going to bring you notoriety.
There's no reason for you to... I mean, you can go to Nashville if you want, but I would say you could be just as successful putting your stuff on YouTube, entering in contests. There are so many things that are happening. I mean, the new singer of Journey was a guy from the Philippines who put his stuff on YouTube. And
the Korean guy that's had, I don't know how many billion hits
Gangnam
on YouTube.
Style.
What did he go to Nashville or Hollywood or New York? You know, so, I mean, just understand that there are formulas. The formulas are for the masses. If you want to be an artist, be an individual and just take care of yourself. You know?
Absolutely. Well, you know what? We got it. Our time is up. We got to run. I'm already a minute over. But, Tom, I want to thank you so much for coming back on the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Look for Tom on tour this summer. He's going to let us know when he comes back or when he goes on
tour. Thanks so much, Priscilla. Thank
you. You're welcome, Tom. Go and purchase. You can purchase that song on, I believe, CD Baby.
Amazon. CD Baby. If you just look up Tom McClear. You'll find Rachel Quinn and Tom McClear all over the place.
There you go. Or you can go to his website, McClear.net or MegRoberts.net. Thank you, Tom. Thank everybody for tuning in. Say goodbye to your fans, Tom.
Take care, everyone. Lots of love and peace. God bless.
God bless. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.